streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I hope that you had a great weekend. We know that for many in our nation, it was a very, very difficult weekend, and it's a difficult Monday, and it's a long road ahead. Hurricane Helene has done so much damage to our country. I read an article this morning, the New York Times. They said 110 people across six states have died. Florida lost 11, Georgia 25. North Carolina and South Carolina really got hammered. North Carolina, especially in Asheville, it's just devastating what you see in the videos that people are posting, mostly just drone videos or helicopter videos, because you can't really get in there at all. They've had 39 deaths, South Carolina 28 deaths, Tennessee 4 deaths, Virginia 2 deaths. And I added all that up. I got 109, but they said 110. So it's probably going to grow because there are people that we can't find, and no cell service in so many of those areas, especially in the Asheville area. And so we need to pray for those dear people. They're just devastated. They've lost homes. They've lost businesses. They've lost loved ones. You can't see the forest for the trees there. It's so difficult in the midst of this disaster. You know, we often go to Psalm 46 when things hit like this. It's a great psalm for God's people. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So God is not distant in trouble. He's a very present help in trouble. He's abundantly available for help in trouble, as one version reads. Therefore, because God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. Boy, fear comes in like a flood when everything seems to fall apart. But we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. And then it goes on to say in verses 10 and 11, cease striving, let go, relax, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Well, that brings comfort to our hearts. Nahum 1:7 also does. It says, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. What do you do when the bottom drops out of your life, as the bottom has dropped out for these dear people in those states that experience the torrential rains and winds that came with Hurricane Helene? What do you do when you lose everything? You trust in God. That's what you do. What can you do? I mean, you get to work, you roll up your sleeves, but you do it with your eyes fixed on Jesus. And faith without works is dead. So we have faith, but we also work. And we pick up the pieces and we trust the Lord. And we know that he's in charge. You know, I was thinking this morning concerning this storm, and we have friends in North Carolina, not in the Asheville area or the area that got hit so heavily, but friends in Charlotte and surrounding areas to Charlotte. My daughter and son-in-law have two Airbnbs there in the Asheville area. They're a little bit up in the mountains, so they said, you know, people up there don't get flood insurance because you feel like you're up high enough, but they can't even find out information about the homes that they own. So it's serious and severe for so many people. And so what do you do when you're just in this state of, I don't know the status of my loved one. I don't know the status of my property. I don't know if I'm going to have a business. I don't even know when I can get in there to assess what's going on. I think it's a good wake up call for all of us. And I do believe, obviously, God is over the weather. And, you know, we have people trying to tell us about climate change, climate change, climate change. God is over the climate. Man is not over the climate. God is over the climate. I saw a article in the USA Today, and it says, Helene, the latest in increasing $1 billion plus disasters. Says the U.S. has averaged 8 yearly disasters that caused more than $1 billion in damage since 1980. But in the last 5 years, the number of such catastrophes has more than doubled to 18. Helene is only the latest, and the cost of its damage is estimated at between $15 billion and $100 billion. Scientists who study the Earth's climate and weather say storms like Helene are more likely to occur in the future, prompting an insurance crisis as insurers reduce coverage on some markets, most notably Florida for storms and California for wildfires, or withdraw from them altogether. Natural disasters are natural disasters, says Ian Mackey, an innkeeper in Cedar Key, Florida. But these don't feel natural anymore. Now, you have the climate change hysteria, and the people that espouse that will say, see, look at this. It's all man-made carbon emissions and climate change. It's not that. It is God who controls the climate, and it is God who is trying to get our attention. I believe that the Lord, as we read in the book of Job, he had a hedge around Job, and the devil couldn't get to Job. What does the devil want to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's the original Terminator. He never stops. But God puts limits on what he can do. And for the devil to get at Job and the things that Job had, his children and his wealth and servants and all that, God had to let down the hedge. And the devil even said that, Lord, you put a hedge around him. I can't get to him. God lets down the hedge and the devil can come in. I think God has let down the hedge in America. And Adrian Rogers once said, I've never forgotten that, this, he said, God has cursed us with blessings. Now, what does that mean? God has cursed us with blessings. Well, we tend not to do well with blessings. We love blessings, but all the blessings of God, this is what it tends to do. When prosperity comes, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, we tend to forget God. We become proud in our hearts and we forget God. And so he curses us with blessings, so to speak, because we don't respond to the blessings well. We think, hey, this is all because of my strength, my ingenuity, my charisma, my abilities, and we forget it's God who gives us the ability to gain wealth. It's God who blesses what we do. And so he said, we've been cursed with blessings. We're getting ready to be blessed with curses. And God is going to remove the hedge, and we are seeing that in so many areas. And what is the response that we're supposed to have to the Lord? The response is one of repentance. And this should cause all of us to say, Lord, you're trying to get our attention. Lord, we haven't been listening, but we're listening now. Now, the wrong response when the bottom drops out of your life is to get bitter at God, to get angry and to say, God, what are you doing? You have no right to do this. And you took my loved one and you took my all my business and business, houses, cars, boats, all the things that have been destroyed in this storm. I have nothing left. And you get angry and bitter at God. That's the wrong response. Now, That's the natural response, is to lash out. You know, when hurt comes, the hurt is one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is anger. And anger always follows hurt. For every ow, there comes a pow. I want to lash out. I want to hit back. Well, when the ow comes from God, and the disaster comes that the Lord allowed, it doesn't come directly from God, but God is the one who is over it all. He has to let down the hedge for the devil to do what he wants to do, steal, kill, and destroy. Well, we can get mad at God, and that just cuts us off from our refuge and strength, from the one who's a very present help in trouble. Or we can return to the Lord, and we can cry out to him. I've been reading in the book of Jeremiah, and there's so much in Jeremiah about the Lord bringing things to his Old Testament people, the people of Judah, and them not responding well. It says in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 6, "Therefore a lion from the forest will slay them, a wolf of the deserts will destroy them, a leopard is watching their cities, everyone who goes out of them will be torn in pieces." Why? "Because their transgressions are many, their apostasies are numerous. Why should I pardon you? Your sons have forsaken me and sworn by those who are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, they committed adultery and trooped to the harlot's house. They were well-fed, lusty horses, each one neighing after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord, and on a nation such as this shall I not avenge myself? Go up through her vine rows and destroy, but do not execute a complete destruction. Strip away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously with me, declares the Lord. They have lied about the Lord and said, misfortune will not come on us, and we will not see sword or famine. The prophets are as wind, and the word is not in them. Thus it will be done to them." Now, in Jeremiah, he's speaking of the fact that Nebuchadnezzar and the armies of Babylon were going to come in and destroy them. And the prophets who supposedly were prophesying for the Lord, but they weren't, they were saying, hey, peace. But there was no peace. And hey, this is the temple of the Lord. This is Jerusalem. Destruction will never come to us. God will protect us. But God didn't. Why? Because they wouldn't return to him. And he goes on to say such a important verse of scripture. Were they ashamed? Jeremiah 6:15. Were they ashamed because of the abomination they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Now, listen, my heart goes out to the people that have experienced this tremendous tragedy from Hurricane Helene. And it is awful and it is horrific. And, it is a warning call to you and to me that we need to return to the Lord, and we need to help the people that are in need. And it's not that it was their sin in particular that caused this. It's our sin that has caused this, our sin as a nation. And we need to remember that God doesn't owe us anything. We owe him everything. And we have to praise him in the sunshine and praise him in the rain. We praise him in prosperity and we praise him in adversity. We praise him when everything's coming up roses, and we praise him when the bottom drops out. God is over it all. And cease striving, let go, relax, be still, and know that I am God. But listen, this is a warning to us and a wake-up call to us in America that we need to return to the God of our fathers, to the faith of our fathers, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We need to return and put ourselves at the feet of Jesus to listen to his word and to obey his voice. Judgment is coming to America, and it will be much, much more devastating than what we've seen just with Hurricane Helene. And we need to pay attention and we need to get right. As the people of Nineveh were told, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown, they responded to that message. They knew judgment was coming, and it was a righteous judgment, and they responded to that preaching of Jonah, and they repented, and they cried out to God for mercy and grace and compassion, and God had mercy, grace, and compassion on them, because the Lord takes no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. Therefore, repent and live. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 17, as he was talking to the Athenians about the Lord on Mars Hill, he said, God is now declaring that all men everywhere should repent, for he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. What is the message, overarching message in Scripture? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what John the Baptist preached. That's what Jesus preached. That's what the apostles preached. Repent. Turn to Jesus. Turn from sin and turn to the Savior. Repent while there's still time. Repentance, metanoia in the Greek, means to change your mind. Change your mind what you think about sin, what you think about self, what you think about the Savior. You know, they said, they called Jesus of Nazareth, Yahshua in Zaret, as it the little phrase there in the Passion of the Christ. And they would say that derogatorily, Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth was a grease spot on the road. I mean, it was a nothing town. Very few people lived there. The population of Nazareth was probably less than 1,000 people, and that might be high. It may have been less than 500 people that lived there. Very, very small. And you remember what Philip said when he was told, we have found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, Nazareth, or Nathaniel said this, Nazareth, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, Jesus is from Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. He is the Savior of the world. And because he was from Nazareth, I love this. I did a sermon series once about location. I think I called it Location, Location, Location. Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth is where Mary lived. That's where the Lord sent the angel Gabriel to a young girl engaged, and she lived in Nazareth. And the Lord sees those insignificant people. Mary couldn't have been more insignificant in the eyes of the world, but she was significant to God because she loved the Lord and she had a humble heart and she looked to Him. Listen, we as a nation desperately need to repent, and we need to get our eyes on Jesus, and we need to say, Lord, you've been so good to us, and yet we've taken all those blessings for granted. We've been so prideful and so sinful, and we need to turn from our sin and put you first once again in our land. That's what's going to heal our land. You know, as we use that scripture so often, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. We're so prideful and so prayerless much of the time. If we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. Now remember, not his hand. When you seek God's hand, that's what he can do for you. When you seek his face, that's his presence. Lord, I just want you. You seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And so I think all this latest storm is a wake-up call. No doubt it's going to take a tremendous toll, not only on the loss of human life, not only on the emotional pain and scarring for so many families who have lost loved ones, but on the nation itself financially, as so much property has been lost and destroyed, and the cleanup is going to be for a long, long time. So we need to pray for those dear folks in those areas, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia specifically. Well, I was as I was driving in today, I thought about an illustration I heard years and years and years ago in an Adrian Rogers sermon. You know, when I was a sales rep for Nalco Chemical Company, I was in the car before the Lord called me to preach in my late 20s, early 30s, and I would be in the car two, three, 4 hours a day. I listened to lots and lots and lots of sermons. Adrian Rogers was and is my favorite preacher. He is just a hero in the faith. And he told a story about a man named Charles Jones, and he called himself, he was a motivational speaker, so he gave himself the nickname Tremendous. So he went by the name Charles Tremendous Jones. And he said this, Charles Tremendous Jones, quote, "I had in the basement of my house my study. I had all of the plaques and all the letters of congratulations and all the awards that I had won." He said, "I had the walls covered with them, all my treasured letters, all my memorabilia." You know how people just love to look at these things and think they're really important because these famous people said these nice things, pictures of you and these famous people. And so he had all that. And then he said, "We had a flood, and the water and the mud ran down and filled up my basement, and it ruined it all of my pretty things. And I began to cry to Jesus about it and tell him all the terrible things that had happened to my precious things. And he said to Charlie, 'Oh, Charlie, don't worry about that stuff. I was going to burn it up anyway.'" I love that story because it's so true. All that stuff is it doesn't last. You know, only three things last forever: God, his word, and people. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. God's eternal, people are eternal, and his word is eternal. Heaven and earth aren't eternal, and everything is going to burn up. 2 Peter 3 makes that clear. The present heavens and the earth by his word are reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So, because it's all going to burn, and the only thing that lasts, God, his word, and people, we need to hold all things loosely. We need to hold all things loosely and keep our eyes on Jesus continually and trust him no matter what. Because life is uncertain. It's unpredictable. We don't know. It can turn on a dime. I wrote a book some years ago called Life Interrupted, How to Face a New Normal. I remember some people hated that title. They said, "I don't like the title that How to Face a New Normal. I don't like a new normal." But a new normal is reality for lots of people. You lose your spouse, you have a new normal. When my mom lost my dad, it was a new normal for her. It wasn't necessarily, obviously, it wasn't what she wanted. And the new normal is so much of the time not what we want, but it's reality. And so we face those difficulties that come to our lives with our eyes fixed on Jesus. We say, thank you, Lord. I don't understand this, but I trust you. And I know that you're good. Truly, he is good. 2 Chronicles 7:3. Truly, he is good. Truly, his loving kindness is everlasting. I know that you're good. I know that you love me. And Romans 8:28. I know that you work all things together for good to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. And so, lessons to be learned in the midst of disaster, in the midst of storms. Well, let me change gears a little bit. Many of you know and heard the news last week about Steve Lawson, Dr. Steve Lawson, who was a very well-known preacher and pastor and seminary educator and conference speaker. Well, it became known that he had an affair, and evidently it was a lengthy affair. It wasn't a one-time thing. This has been an ongoing thing. I had heard that as long as 5 years, and I don't know that for certain, but it was not a one-time thing for sure. And Steve Lawson, who is 73 years old, had an inappropriate relationship with a girl who was very, very young, in her 20s. And this was the announcement from his church, Trinity Bible Church in Dallas. They said, the elders at Trinity Bible Church of Dallas regretfully announced that effective immediately, Stephen J. Lawson has been removed indefinitely from all ministry activities at Trinity Bible Church of Dallas. Several days ago, the elders at Trinity Bible Church of Dallas were informed by Steve Lawson of an inappropriate relationship that he has had with a woman. The elders have met with Steve and will continue to come alongside him and pray for him with the ultimate goal of his personal repentance. Steve will no longer be compensated by Trinity Bible Church of Dallas. And then it just goes on to say, in light of this, we're reminded that we are all sinners and Christ came to the world to save sinners. And we look at the fall of Steve Lawson with shock, with dismay, and with the very familiar refrain there, but by the grace of God go I. No one is immune to falling prey to the devil's attacks. And very surprising to me that a man at that age would fall prey to that sin. But, you know, the Bible says flee youthful lusts. Tim Challies had a article that he wrote, and he titled it The Sins of the Elderly and the Sins of Youth. And he said, you know, you would think by you get up to a certain age and you think, okay, I dealt with this. It was at a fever pitch when I was in my youth, when I was in my 20s, 30s, 40s. And then I started to really experience victory as I fought this and fought, you know, the thoughts that the devil would throw at me and the things that would come across my line of vision. And so as you get older, you know, the temptations of the flesh, especially in sexual immorality, you would think that it's not quite the same as when you were a young man in your 20s or 30s. But obviously, we never get so old that that's not a temptation. And it's a sad, sad day. And this is a sad situation for sure. And, you know, we need to learn the lessons from this. No one is immune. And we need to pray for Steve Lawson and his family. This is a terrible thing for his wife and his children, his grandchildren. We need to learn that, hey, if I don't take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, the same thing can happen to me. I like what Tim Challey said about this. He said, despite all the sadness, I do see a few reasons to be hopeful. First of all, I know it can seem at times like there's an epidemic of Christian leaders committing acts of immorality and destroying their ministries. But it's important to remember that there are far more who remain faithful to the end. In fact, part of what makes a situation like this so shocking is its rarity. I could name 100 pastors who ended their ministry well for every one that I could name who did not. So that's good to know, because we hear about the pastors that fizzle out and crash and burn, but for everyone that crashes and burns, there are lots of guys who remain faithful. He said, secondly, I was heartened to see that the local church seemingly responded decisively and appropriately, with conferences and parachurch ministries alike following its lead. That is the way it should be, but rarely the way it actually is. I also appreciate the local church, that it was measured and discreet in the information it shared. I have a lot of sympathy and respect for the elders who had to attempt to say enough, but not too much, to express the guilt of the one who committed the sin, but perhaps also to protect those who were innocent or otherwise deserving of privacy. Third, I was encouraged to hear other Christians expressing their determination to avoid such scandals in their own lives. When a pastor, a brother in the Lord, falls, and nobody should rejoice over that. We should grieve over that, and we should also look to ourselves. As it says in Galatians 6, you know, restore the one who has fallen, each one looking to yourself, lest he too be tempted. Nobody is immune to sin. You know, David, when he sinned, we all know about David's famous sin with Bathsheba. It's recorded in Scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Well, according to Chuck Swindoll, we don't know exactly how old David is, but David has been established as king. He's won all these battles. He's probably in his 50s when he sinned with Bathsheba. And David had wives and concubines, wasn't supposed to. The king's not supposed to multiply wives to himself. Deuteronomy chapter 17 tells us that, but he did. And he had wives and concubines. What's a concubine? A concubine is a girlfriend. She's not your wife, but she's part of your harem, and you can call for her anytime you want to be with her. And so it wasn't like David, you know, didn't have anybody to be with that night. He saw Bathsheba, saw her bathing, he wanted her, he looked at her, he lusted for her, he longed for her. He didn't see the evil and hide himself, as it says in the book of Proverbs. The prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. What should David have done? Well, it wasn't a sin for him to see her bathing, it was a sin for him to watch her bathing. And as soon as he saw her, he needed to turn away. He needed to get off the roof of his palace. He needed to flee youthful lust, but he didn't. And he called for her, and when she came to him, it was mutual. He didn't rape her, as some try and say. She came to him, and they had a night of sin together, the sin of adultery. And David thought it was out of his system. He was done with it. Nobody's going to be the wiser. She was the wife of Uriah the Hittite, who was one of David's mighty men. And this is such a betrayal on David's part. He thought he was done with it until he gets word from Bathsheba that she was pregnant. The baby's obviously not Uriah's. He's gone fighting the king's battles. The baby is David's. And David, in his attempt to cover up his sin, ends up having Uriah killed. And after Bathsheba grieves, he marries her. And God has grace. David is forgiven for his sin. And David and Bathsheba end up having a second child. That child that was born out of wedlock, born in sin, died. But David and Bathsheba then had another son, Solomon, who became the successor to King David. God is a God who is merciful and kind and gracious, who works all things together for good. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We are opening the phone lines for this last segment, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, we've been talking about the terrible devastation caused by Hurricane Helene as it ripped through the nation, starting in Florida and moving its way up, and how especially the people in Asheville, North Carolina, are just devastated, and we need to be praying for them and doing what we can to help them, and ask God to pour out his mercy and grace and compassion. And as we said earlier, you know, faith without works is dead. So when we trust the Lord, we also roll up our sleeves and work. We don't sit around and wait for God to do it all. One of my favorite statements is this: God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. So God expects us to trust him, but to get going and get moving and get working. And so we pray for those folks. And then we talked about the Steve Lawson disaster and his sin and his fall, and how that we pray for him and pray for his family, for true repentance to come, for the Lord to be glorified even in the midst of that terrible sin, and for the church to be strengthened. You know, when something like this happens, it hurts the body of Christ. It is such a blot on the testimony, as Nathan the prophet told David when he sinned with Bathsheba: because you've done this, you've given occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You despised me, Nathan told David, as he quoted from the Lord. You despised me. Now, you're supposed to be the guy who loves me, the king who loves me. You're supposed to be the king after my own heart. And yet you despised me when you did this terrible sin and committed this terrible sin with Bathsheba, did this terrible act. And so we don't want to give opportunity for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, to say, oh, they're, you know, these Christians, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. They're all just a bunch of fakes. And so we do desperately need to walk in the light with Jesus, and to get our public life, our private life, and our secret life all together in the light with the Lord. And so may we all learn from this, especially pastors, to bring everything out into the light, to have the accountability that we need, and to really walk the talk. Well, as we go to the phone lines, we have Terry on the line from West Virginia. Terry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you. We're
in southern West Virginia. We border Virginia. And we also, so I want you to include West Virginia in your, from Helene. We live on a farm. We have over 30 trees down.
Oh, wow.
We have no power. Our entire county is in a state of emergency, and the vast majority of this county has no power. And so we're surviving. Nothing hit our house. Mm-hmm. We're all fine. I have horses, so they're all fine.
Good.
So I just want you to include West Virginia.
Yes, for sure. Well, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Terry. How have they said anything about when power might come back on?
No. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
There are lines, like at my son's house, who lives up here too, his pole and transformer are laying in his front yard. Ours is down as well, and we're at the end of the line, so we will be one of the last ones. Whatever, it's okay.
Are you on well water where you are?
No, we're on city water, and we do have water.
Okay, good. Good. Well, we'll definitely include West Virginia and the good folks there. Terry, thanks for calling and giving us that update.
And thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless. Well, we have John on the line from Virginia. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. I appreciate your ministry and touching on this topic of how easy it is for the enemy to take out any one of us leaders and followers of Jesus. I just wanted to share a quote from a leader of a parachurch ministry. I don't remember his name, but it stuck with me for, decades. He said he fell. He had an affair with a secretary, I believe, but he said an unguarded strength is a double weakness. He said he never thought he would end up with an affair, loved his wife, had a wonderful family ministry and all of that. And maybe it's that pride that all of us have. But I think your point that none of us are above that is so true. And I always remember that an unguarded strength is a double weakness.
Yeah, I remember that too. That's been used a lot. I think that's Gordon MacDonald that was the one that came up with that.
That's right. That's correct. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I read a story about him, John, where he was talking to a friend, and he had mentioned about sexual immorality. He said, well, that's one place where the devil could never cause me to stumble because I'm so strong there. And it was, yes, less than a year later after making that statement that he fell there. And so, you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Because all of us have feet of clay. And, you know, when something like this happens, and, you know, I'm not a Calvinist. Stephen Lawson was such a hardline Calvinist, so I didn't connect with him all that well. Many, many people really, I mean, they held him in high, high regard. And but we all grieve. I mean, Steve Lawson's a brother in the Lord, and we grieve and know that, hey, that could happen to me too if I take my eyes off the Lord. And so I appreciate you mentioning that because it's true. An unguarded strength is a double weakness, and we need to make sure we have our guard up and guard our hearts from those things, and don't allow ourselves to set the stage for a fall. Don't start compromising in those areas, especially with the opposite sex. And so the Billy Graham rule is a good rule. You just don't allow yourself to be alone with a woman who's not your wife. And don't ride in the car with a woman who's not your wife when it's just the two of you. Just avoid that and avoid every appearance of evil. It will help you in the long run. So God bless you, John. I thank you for calling in with that. Well, we have Chris on the line from Texas. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, I attend Trinity Bible Dallas, where Steve Lawson was our pastor, and I was so grateful to find the church. I was so grateful to find his preaching. I found it through a friend who I mentioned I'm looking for a John MacArthur church, and uh-huh. He said, there's one in Dallas. I go to it. So when I heard the news, a friend said, hey, I heard about this. And I looked at my email to the members, and I just sat there and bawled. I had, like, these deep tears because I trusted him. I loved him. I loved the church. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, what am I going to do? I searched for churches, and here I found this church I thought was the greatest. Do I go back? What do I do? And then I went to listen and hear the service the following Sunday, and they did a wonderful job. They said, I hope you all didn't come here today to hear a man speak, which was me. I was guilty. That's what mm-hmm. I wanted to hear of him. I hope you came to hear the God-man, the Son of God, that mm-hmm. he that's the man you came to hear about. And it's through Jesus Christ that we will be healed, and that he's still on his throne. And mm-hmm. I thought, I was very convicted that I can't rely on a man to be who I want to listen to. But through the Master's University, you can find the pastors who have graduated and went to that college, and you can find a church there and find those preachers. Mm-hmm. But I felt like a part of my arm died. Like part mm-hmm. of me died. I grieved because yeah. I felt like a best friend died. It's like he could have just died, and I would have felt like better about it. Mm-hmm. But he didn't, and we go on with life, and we just realize we're all human, and Satan's going to attack the ones who are preaching God's word the most, and he's going to attack those, and he did. And yeah. sadly, we need to come through this and just realize God's still on his throne.
Chris, let me ask you a couple of questions. So you just, how long have you been at Trinity Bible Church?
I recently found it back about a year. It's almost a year. November, I found it.
Okay. Do you know how many people go there?
Mentioned.
Do you know how many?
They just found out. Oh, I don't know the exact number, but we're packed out. We have too many. We have like standing room only, and it's very. We actually found out. I was in tears about a month ago. They announced that they found a new location, and that we're going to build a new location. I was just in tears when I heard that too. Tears of joy that we found a new place because we were overgrowing, and mm-hmm. there were so many of us that they found a new church location. We were going to some land, a vacant building that they were going to make a new church for us.
Yeah. So, has Chris has Steve Lawson written anything of apology or repentance? What have they said anything like that?
No, I have not heard. I never heard your program on that, and I don't know if he actually will. And I don't recall, like, what is it, Mr. Morris, when he had the same situation here in Dallas, that if he, did he ever say anything? I don't know. But I did hear that on his deathbed, or his, John MacArthur is sick. At our last service we heard yesterday, the preacher spoke, who stepped up, said that John MacArthur, who was very good friends with him, he had said he's in the hospital now with a heart condition, and he said from his hospital bed that Trinity Baptist will be stronger from it. So through our trials, we will become stronger, a stronger church.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, Chris, and I think you're exactly right. You know, it's easy to get our eyes on a person because we connect so much with their preaching and the things that they say as the Lord uses them, and it just encourages our hearts and builds us up, and we see life change that comes from that. And, you know, I mean, God has a lot of different mouthpieces that he uses. There wasn't just one guy that was used to write the entire Bible. Lots of different authors, 40 different authors. And so God uses different people with different strengths and different personality types and things like that. And when we connect with somebody, we want that guy to be genuine and true and solid. We have a tendency to put guys like that on a pedestal, but they're just guys. They're just humans. They're flawed. If you hang around with them long enough, you're going to see their flaws. They don't live a sinless life. You know, we can live a blameless life, all of us as Christians, and we can live a genuine life. And when we mess up, we fess up, we get things right. But nobody is without sin. As Solomon said, indeed, there's not a righteous man on the earth who continually does good and never sins. And so, but when we see this disqualifying sin, we grieve, and it's very, very heartbreaking to see that. And we pray for him. You know, his wife didn't sign up for that, but it has befallen her, his children, his grandchildren. It just leaves a huge mark. And so we have to keep looking to Jesus. And as they have said at Trinity Bible, hey, the Lord is the one that leads our church, not any man. And so we keep following him. So I think that's a great attitude to have. And so God bless you, Chris. Thanks for calling in and giving us your words of encouragement, and especially straight from the church that he was pastoring. Well, we have Buddy on the line from Mississippi. Buddy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. Look, yes. Adrian Rogers is my favorite also. He did have a sermon on David and Bathsheba. For the first time, he arose in the evening.
Right.
That should have been bedtime for David, correct?
Right. That's exactly right.
The Bible said he, for the first time, he looked upon her. Something was problem. He had Adrian Rogers. I don't remember everything on his sermon, but it was about him arising, you know, when he should have been sleeping.
Right.
And you, I've talked with you before, and I'm going to tell you, you were correct about when I called you about Peter. So, He had about a week later the sermon about Peter. So anyway, go ahead and tell him about David and Bathsheba. Could have been something caused him. She didn't even know it, and Bathsheba didn't even want to go up there, but his hair refused the king, you know. That
could
have been a problem for
her. Yeah, well, she was a participant. She could have said no, but she didn't, as far as having a, you know, sinning against the Lord. And, you know, I think she was enamored with David just as he was with her. And so that was a mutual thing. But the initiator of all that was David. And David should have been at battle. It happened in the spring of the year when the kings go out to battle that David sent Joab, and he stayed at home, and he was just lounging in his bed, and he arose from his bed in the evening because he had been doing a bunch of nothing and got himself into trouble. The idle hands are the devil's playground, the Bible says, and the idle brain. And so David was, he messed up big time, and he paid for it. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.